Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Very pleased to have with us today State Representative Randy Ligon, who represents District Number 43, which is a portion of Chester County and a portion of York County, and he's not homeless, but he's got a combination of everything. Randy, how you doing, buddy?
All right, so good to hear from you. Good to be here. I appreciate the invitation.
Okay, so here we go. Now, I sound like I'm on a transistor radio, and I have no idea why that happened, except we did drop the headset.
Well,
that could be it. Regardless, I'm here. That's right. What's important. So, Randy, tell everybody a little bit about your background.
Yeah, well, of course, I got up this morning on the farm down in Lewis Turnout, South Carolina. It's between Chester and Rock Hill on 72 and Lewis Turnout. I had some newborn calves out there this morning and having coffee, and I thought I'd go get a haircut, but I figured I had a face for radio, so it didn't matter. So I didn't make that. But anyway, we're farming. My son George is an attorney here. My daughter's Mary Catherine's PA down in Beaufort, where they're flooding.
Yeah. I saw a little bit of that this weekend.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I was in touch this morning with Clemson, and they said that they're flooding down in Dorchester County this morning, and they had about a 5-inch surprise rain, unpredicted rain, and created more flooding, and that, I know, is the topic of the day, is agriculture, and that it is underwater down in the low part of the state. And of course, we're wet here. Our cotton crops are dangerously wet because cotton doesn't like wet weather.
It doesn't like wet weather.
It does not. It likes hot weather and fairly dry.
But, so when something like this happens, when you've got 5 inches of rain or 7 inches of rain or whatever it is we had here, can you almost automatically count on the fact that you're going to lose part of the crop?
Well, I don't want to say we'd lose it. Just soybeans will probably be okay. The other vegetable crops, a lot of those grown out in Lyra's area, they'll be okay if it dries off pretty quickly. But yes, you will probably lose a small percentage of your cotton. Just to fungus, mold, insects break out. I mean, you know, cotton grows close together, and humidity gets it, and it gets in the bowl and it won't open properly.
So, is there something that you can do to help them in terms of these farmers?
Well, you know, farmers changed a lot. We have insurance plans that they can purchase if they choose to. But I think what we'll do more immediately is the governor may consider disaster proclamations. My understanding from Clemson is that their extension agents are actually going to be on the ground. They'll have boots on the ground today.
Really?
Yeah. That's how important it is to maintain a crop in South Carolina and to protect our farmers. Because, you know, it's gotten so terribly expensive to grow these crops. So, anyway, the insurance funds will kick in, but more immediately it'd be disaster relief, which we hope we don't need, but we might.
Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to make a little equipment change here, and we'll be back to continue our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI
and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
I love their fresh meats and the sweet wheat bread.
The bread, their quality meats, and their prices.
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Now, parts of Western York County can enjoy Comporium's advanced internet technology every day. Thanks to the partnership between Comporium and York Electric Cooperative, parts of Western York County now have access to Comporium fiber technology that gives you the ability to stream, download, search, and conference quickly and reliably. Not only is Comporium fiber fast, it's also affordable, starting at just $49.99 per month with no connection fee. For details, go online to comporium.link/YEC to sign up for Comporium high-speed internet today.
If you have tried traditional weight loss methods of diet, exercise, and medications and failed to see lasting results, you may be a candidate for bariatric surgery at Piedmont Medical Center Fort Mill. Our three board-certified surgeons have performed more than 1,000 minimally invasive robotic surgical weight loss procedures, which can be very effective in long-term management of weight. Piedmont Medical Center Fort Mill, offering comprehensive weight management and weight loss services supporting patients on their journey to wellness. Learn more online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Relax this summer with a promotional rate on select travel purchases with your Founders Federal Credit Union credit card. Now through August 31st, get 6.99% APR for 6 months on qualifying purchases, including airfare, hotels, restaurants, and cruise lines. Don't let interest rates slow you down this summer. Visit foundersfcu.com/travel to learn more. On March 1st, 2025, the promotional APR reverts to the effective APRs previously disclosed. Call 800-845-1614 for details about credit costs and terms. Membership qualification required.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Such distinguished people frequent this place, enjoy that, and the food is delicious.
The salads are the best in town.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Jared Road across from Winthrop. State Representative Randy Ligon is with us, and we got started talking about the rain and the amount of rain that we've had in such a short period of time, 5 to 7 inches wherever you are. And as you pointed out, over in Clemson, another 5 inches?
Yeah, down in Dorchester County. Somerville, down that way. And I understand I was talking to Clemson people, and they're going to get extension agents on the ground today, if at all possible, certainly by tomorrow. They'll have folks trying to assess the damage, and then the governor's office will be very interested to hear those numbers and what kind of losses we're suffering from down there.
So that's when various declarations are made and dollars can flow back to the farmers to hopefully make them whole on this.
Well, you never make them whole in a disaster, but you try to help them hang on to next year's crop. The story of a farmer.
So, well, that takes me back to the original intent of what I wanted to talk to you about. Farming as a career, as an industry, what have you. Here we are in the 21st century, and 100 years ago, family farms just passed from one generation to another generation, and people kept farming. And then whatever happened, happened, and the kids decided, I don't think farming is for me. And we've seen a steady decline in the number of family farms.
Huge number of declines. You know, we lose thousands of acres of agriculture property every year to you know, industrial growth, housing, most commonly it would be housing. And to that end, we passed a law last year called the Working Agriculture Land Preservation Bill, H3951, which I helped push and work on. It is basically a conservation easement bill, where we're putting money and getting money from the State Conservation Board, and we are preserving working farmland, and we're trying to save working farmland for the next generation. And it's one way for a family to pass it down because they can get some money out of it. You know, the state will pay them some percentage of the value, and then it'll pass down or be sold, but it most likely would pass down in the family. And that fund, we funded it with $3 million this year, and we've already had such a big, you know, request to get approved for it, because you have to go through a selection process, that I expect next year in the upcoming session of 2025 session, we'll be looking for more funding for that. But I don't have a problem putting state money into saving the state of South Carolina's agricultural property.
Well, I would think so. But the other problem, let's say you save the farmland, you still have to have farmers working, correct?
Right. And that's a whole nother topic or question, but we've addressed that. And, you know, and you've had folks on bragging about our tech school system. You know,
yep.
South Carolina, the governor says we got the best tech school system in the country, and it's certainly at the top of the list of what we're doing. We're giving young people opportunities to go to tech schools, you know, almost free for the first year or two. And that is part of the lead-in, because you need a guy who can fix a machine, can weld it, or has the horticultural interests. We got horticultural programs, you know. But my favorite topic to talk to, if you'll let me brag about what we've done in my tenure, is we started, and the only one in America, friends, we have the Governor's School of Agriculture.
Only one in the country?
The only one in the country.
Wow.
And we're getting calls from other states wanting to know how to do it. I understand Hawaii's hot on trying to figure out how to save the farmers out there on the islands around Hawaii, the smaller islands. A lot of agriculture in Hawaii, people don't realize. But I was talking to folks in Oklahoma a few weeks ago about it. Listen, South Carolina is setting the pace here in our Governor's School of Agriculture. You know, we all know we have great governor's schools of what? Art.
Business.
And then the other is science,
okay.
Science and math. So those have done well. One's in Greenville, one's in Hartsville. But South Carolina had the unique opportunity, as we inherited from Dr. Della Howe back in 1797, I mean, about as old as the state. And we inherited this several thousand acres. It's still 1,300 acres, and it was built, and its purpose was given to the state of South Carolina as a place for agricultural education.
So it's been around since 1797.
True.
And we're now just beginning to hear about it?
We're just now using it, for the right purpose. You know, it's been through different purposes over the life of it. It was mostly an orphanage for a long, long time.
Really?
For the state of South Carolina. And then it became a reform school, and then that didn't work very well. And then we just closed it down a few years ago. And then it sat there, and about the time I got elected, 2018, we were able to pull together the resources to go, you know, take it out of mothballs, as they say, you know, when you shut a big facility down. And 1,300 acres, a mile of river frontage and whatever. So, I mean, it is a huge tract of land with all these nice buildings. And we turned it into a school.
Now, you're in the process of renovating a lot of these older buildings. Is that right?
Right. We've got room for 78 students. We got some from York and Chester County in it now. Had one or two graduate last year. I think they've had 70 or 80 graduates already in the last 5 years. This has been we've been doing this about 5 years. And, yes, we're trying to renovate more to get the capacity up to 100, 110. And then maybe if we build a dorm or two or renovate one of the classroom buildings, we'll be able to get up to about 150 students. And that's probably about as big as we'll try to get.
So has there been any tracking to see, since some of these people have graduated, have they gone back and taken all this knowledge to the farm?
A lot of them have gone to Clemson. Mm-hmm. They've gone to, there's a good ag program over there around Pendleton, and that school has got an agricultural emphasis being close to Clemson. And then I think there's a big horticultural program over at Myrtle Beach. for golf course management, you know, the horticulture side. But, yes, these young people are going back to the farms for sure.
So the governor's school, was it like a one-year, two-year?
Two-year program.
It actually gives a degree?
It's a high school. You graduate with
a high school?
It's a high school, yeah. Take them young, yeah, get them started early. That's right. But just like the other governor's schools.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
gotcha.
So it's a good program for sure and a great facility, and I would encourage folks to look it up online if young people in your family have an interest in agriculture.
Now, I read here somewhere that with 1,300 acres that you're trying to get to a point where you could, I don't know, provide the food, 50% of the food that you need?
Oh, yeah. They're going to grow their own. They're growing probably 25% of it now. Because, you know, the kids can major in, you know, have different areas of study. And some are raising beef and livestock. I don't think they're milking cows, but there used to be a dairy on it, but I think they've closed that. But anyway, yeah, trying to get up to 50% sustainable foods.
And I notice here that you actually have a podcast coming out of the school. It's called Carolina's Field, Forest, and Water. And you can find, you know, on Apple or wherever else, if you're interested in this, listen to what these kids are, what they're learning.
Yeah, and they're producing that show themselves in their, you know, in their communication classes.
And of course, when you see here that they have scored 98 out of 100 on the state report card, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah, listen, these are honor students now. This is not a reform school. These are honor students. It's the governor's school. And we're very proud of it.
And a lot of these kids, I would imagine, have been involved with 4-H and FFA?
4-H, FFA programs. And certainly you can do that here in Chester and York County.
Yeah.
Encourage your young people to be involved in FFA and 4-H. They've got great chapters on the campus there. I mean, these young people are going to the state fair and winning. I mean, they're just cleaning up. With ribbons, blue ribbons there.
We've had a chance to interview a couple of them over the last year or so. Very interesting young men and women. They really are.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, agriculture today is as high-tech an industry as there is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, tractors are driven by computers, GPS-driven. You know, the spacing between rows is perfect because a computer laid it out.
I mean, if you drive down the highway and you see a freshly planted field, let's say it's cotton, and I remember my wife saying to me one day, look how evenly spaced, and I said, that's all because of a computer.
Yeah.
I said, somebody sits up in that cab with his arms folded, and the computer is plopping the seeds in every whatever it is.
That's right. Yeah, putting them in exact depth, and, you know, it is amazing, and I don't care if a young person has a PhD in organic chemistry, as my daughter-in-law does, has a PhD in any kind of science. I mean, listen, every big chemical company you've ever heard of, every big drug maker, Bayer, Eli Lilly, whatever, they have ag divisions.
Oh, yeah.
They have big agriculture business because, you know, agriculture is the biggest business in South Carolina. It's the biggest business in Chester County, I think in York County, too. But in the nation, and frankly in the world.
So, what else does South Carolina need to do in order to keep the ball rolling on promoting farming, getting more people? I guess you can make a decent living in farming if you do it right.
Yeah,
you understand all these mechanics that the governor's school is teaching you.
Exactly. Yeah, you no doubt. I mean, you know, these young people don't have to go back to the farm. They can go to a research facility, you know, they can go be an engineer at John Deere. You know, John Deere is building, cotton pickers, $800,000 now. That's an expensive machine. They want smart people to build it and to run it. So, you know, it's amazing where agriculture has gone in the last 50 years.
But if you take a look at all of the incentives that the state of South Carolina offers large industries like BMW and Boeing and the rest of them. Is that something that is even talked about down there in Columbia about what we need to do to keep the level of farming we have now or grow the level of farming?
Well, I don't know that it's an industrial incentive base, but we, a little bit is related. We're improving the port. Dan, the ports, you know, yes, the ports were modernized to handle the Volvo and the BMW.
Sure.
But we also need to improve our forestry division of agriculture. You forget forestry is agriculture, and we need to be able to export wood products. I think we will continue to push for maybe a wood chip pelletization, where they turn wood into pellets. The Europeans like wood pellets as a fairly clean energy source. People sell or cut wood and chop wood,
sure,
and put a stick of wood in. Well, you do it, Manning, with your grills.
That's right.
Aren't they
pellets?
Aren't they
Trader
just
grills?
Pellets?
That's right.
Yeah, your Trader grills. Pellets. That technology is something that would work good in South Carolina, and we'd like to see a new plant built, and maybe build it near our port so we can, ship that product to Europe.
So people like you in the legislature who've got a background in farming, do you find yourself needing more support? I mean, do you need more farmers down there making more noise?
We need... it's about 2% of us feeding the other 98% of y'all. So the bottom line is yes, and in the legislature it's less than 2% of us trying to, maintain the status and the importance of agriculture. Clemson's doing all it can. South Carolina State College has a good ag program also. And then, of course, like I said, we've got some good programs in our tech schools. But it is just critical that we save agriculture in South Carolina and that we raise a generation of young people who can do it, do the job.
But as we talked about earlier, you've got these family farms that are passing down from one generation to another generation. And that new generation coming up was probably sitting there, I could cash this land in and make a whole bunch of money, and I wouldn't have to worry about getting my hands dirty growing these crops. And I'm just curious as to how you change that mentality.
Well, I think, I'm a property rights guy. I mean, if it's your farm, it's your right to do with it as you please.
Sure.
However, we hope we can entice young people to maybe put it in the land bank, put it in a conservation bank, so that they will, get paid something from the state to preserve it forever.
Right.
And then we can make agriculture profitable enough, so that young people will want to have that lifestyle. And it is a lifestyle.
Oh, there's no question it's a lifestyle.
Yeah. And and it's not about the money all the time. So, we've had a good year. We passed a good bit of legislation on agriculture issues, and of course an issue you don't hear much about but is a real problem for farmers is the deer and hog degradation. Am I pronouncing
that's
that right?
Degradation,
that's right. In other words, the hogs and the deer are eating the crops up is the bottom line. And I mean, I know plenty of people fence in their little garden plots in their backyards to keep the deer away.
Yeah.
And I understand they've got a deer epidemic inside Tiga K. Well, trust me, it's bigger out on the farm.
Right.
And they are just doing tremendous damage. And we got to just deal with that. And we even opened up the rights to hunt hogs from a helicopter.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
The aerial hunting of hogs. House Bill 4612.
Yeah, we passed that bill. I'm not real optimistic that it's going to make a big impact, but it seems to work out in Texas. We're going to try it in South Carolina. I think it's probably limited to the low country where the fields are big enough.
But, I was looking at some of these bills that the House Agriculture Committee passed,
uh-huh,
and I'm scratching my head saying, do you really have to do this? For instance, the dog collar bill. This bill makes it illegal to remove an electronic dog collar placed on a dog by its owner.
Well, it's hard to believe how petty people are. People will steal your dog, they'll find it out on the farm out in big hunting preserves and all, and take the tracking collar off of it and throw it in the river, and your dog. And, I mean, I know. I said the same thing. I said, who needs to write a law about not stealing your neighbor's dog collar? But apparently, when it's $1,000 dog collar, they will steal it and turn the dog loose. So it's amazing that we do have to deal with some of this. Of course, you know, I always say we had to regulate the size of fish hooks,
and
I thought that was interesting. and blue crabs, you can't have.
Hybrid bass limits.
But
this one on deer processors. This bill allows for people to donate a tagged deer to a deer processor, and for the deer processor to recover a fee of processing the amount due to him from someone other than the person who donated. Yeah. You got to write a law for that?
Well, it's hard to believe, isn't it? You know, I said when I got elected, if I was going to pass a bill, I wanted to find that one I could do away with, you know, a horse and buggy whip bill or something. But, apparently you can't donate that deer to a food bank, and the food bank paid for the processing because they didn't kill it. It wasn't their deer. So we had to clarify that in the code.
Amazing. Amazing. Your government at work. So now you've got a few bills that are going to be filed here in December that are going to deal with, you know, again, the Young Farmer and Rancher Loan Program, the Farmer Protection Act, the Right to Grow Act. These are all basically along the same lines of trying to promote farming.
Right, and this Young Farmer and Rancher Loan Program is going to be, I think, very important to trying to find some funds for these young folks, you know, as they continue to try to farm. And, of course, I'm partial to the fake meat prohibition bill.
Oh, yeah, you've been big on that one.
I wrote the first fake meat bill in 2018, my first year.
Yours was on beef, wasn't it?
Mine was on beef, and it was more of a labeling bill. Couldn't let it in here. And we're going to try to ban fake meat altogether. It's going to be hard to do. There's a big the scientific community says we're meddling with their business. But when they try to sell me a cell-grown hamburger, I think they're meddling with my business and my meal. So anyway, we're against that and have been for a long time.
Well, you seem to be a very active committee, getting things in line in terms of how you want to keep pushing for more support from the state of South Carolina to farmers and protecting farmland. And I gather as long as we've got enough farmers on that committee and they can make enough noise, then you'll be able to continue to put things forward that do what you intended to do.
Well, it's a good committee. They call themselves promoting me off of it and moving me over to the real estate committee, which, of course, I'm in that business every day. But I'm one of the few that get to come back and
make some noise.
I stay active.
Good. Say, Representative Randy Ligon, thank you for being with us today. I know you're on a tight schedule, so we're going to let you go out and run. We want to remind everybody, of course, that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax you with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, Randy Ligon knows this. What do? 6 days a week, we prepare fresh salads and
salads. I like those salads.
And how do we do it, Randy? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.